Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the REN Q3 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to your chairperson, Werner Fernandes. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. As usual, I'm joined by Rui Cartacho, the CFO of REN, and we both would like to welcome you to this conference call today on our results. We will make a short comment, and then we will open the floor for questions. Okay?
Okay, so good afternoon. I would just start to underline two or three topics on the figures that we presented yesterday. We stressed the figure on the CapEx of the first nine months, which was 180 million euros, split between electricity and gas, with 160 million in electricity and 19.5 million in gas. We are, according to our investment managers, we are going to have a close realization of the investment program by the end of the year. There was some news in the newspapers today that drew the attention to the fact that we have 250 million aggregate for the whole year, and with 180 million, some doubts were raised on our capacity to attain the target. In electricity, we are convinced that we will be close to the target. In natural gas, our main concern is with the date of June 30, because it's the end of the natural gas regulatory year. And so, even if by the end of the year, the full figure for 2008 for natural gas is not attained, the important thing for us is that it's fully attained until the June 30. This CapEx figure represents an increase of around 18% against the same period of 2007. Another topic that was yesterday in the press conference was underlined is the net income is in accounting terms smaller than in the first period of last year, and this is directly related to non-recurrent items, where there is an item outstanding, which is the cancellation of the provision that we had for Galp dividends, and the cancellation of the provision was made in July 2007. So, that inflated the results for the first nine months of 2007, and that's why the figure is larger than the figure this year, although in recurrent terms, we are increasing the net income. Finally, there was a statement by the chairman of the company on the dividend for this year, which will be larger than the dividend for last year, although we don't want, at this point, to enter into more details. But this was something that was stated yesterday. So the board will propose for the next annual shareholders meeting an increase in the value of the dividend paid last year. Now, I think that the most efficient way to proceed is to go on with the Q&A. So we are at your disposal to answer to any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir.
Operator, please. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press the number one on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. The first question comes from the line of Pedro Moraes. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Good afternoon. It's Pedro Moraes from Espírito Santo in Lisbon. I have two questions, please. The first one is on the recent evolution of your average cost of debt, if you could make some type of comments on that issue, and also on which proportion of your debt is currently fixed and which part of it is variable. The second question would be on the regulatory issues related with electricity. Do you think actually that we will know, everything that is really relevant for the next 3-year period until the date of 15 December 2008, namely all the details regarding the incentives that have been granted to REN and to the other companies in the electricity distribution and transportation business, whether you believe or not that any other details will come to public light until that date, and what can we actually expect on this front? Thank you.
Okay, concerning the first question on the average cost of debt, we have the average cost of debt of 4.75. It's 4.75, the accumulated figure from January to September. This average cost of debt has been increasing somehow due to the increased spreads on our refinancing. We have for the moment a very small proportion in under fixed rates, although we are considering in the short term to make an additional hedging for, but we have been postponing that for the last couple of weeks due to the fact that the prospects for a decrease in the interest rates have been mounting. So for the moment we have around 10% under fixed rates, and the remaining is under variable rate. This picture, as I said, is going to change in the short term, both because we are near the closing of a new financing with the European Bank of Investment, and also, as I said, because we are considering in the short term to make some additional swaps to increase the proportion of our exposure to increase the proportion of our fixed rate. But for the moment, this is the situation. Concerning regulation, we don't know as yet whether everything will be known by the December 15th, although personally I don't believe that we will know everything at this date. I may remind you that there are at least three elements, important elements, that are missing. One of them is the unit costs of investment, the so-called standardized unit costs on CAPEX, which ERS told us that will be published within some months, because they were not able to finalize their study on this issue, and they informed us that they were using some external consultants, and they were making international benchmarks, and so they needed some additional time. What we are trying to get from them, but this is an attempt from the company, it's not sure that we will achieve it, is to have the differentiated rate of return on new CAPEX in place, even if the standardized costs are not ready to be used. As CNE made in Spain, where they put in place the regulation on the new CAPEX several months before they had the unit CAPEX cost defined. We are trying to convince the regulator to make the same thing, so even if he needs some additional time to establish the standardized values, he could proceed from the 1st of January with the differentiated rates of return, and then we will make some adjustments between provisional reference values and the final values that they will come up with. Then there was another important topic, which was the incentive to use fully amortized assets. So this is also a new feature of the regulation from the 1st of January. As far as we know, and what we can understand from what they tell us informally, they are also studying this issue, and I personally don't believe that they will finalize it before December 15. And then finally, we have two new incentives: one to the availability of the network, and the other to environmental performance, which maybe it's ready by December 15. Frankly, I'm not. I cannot assure you that that will be so, but it may be that we will know that by December 15. So to sum up, from now to December 15, we are going to make our position clear on what they have released up to now. We will comment on the rate base, the basic rate of return of 7.55. We will discuss that with them. We'll make our positions. Then we will try and convince him to have the premium on new CAPEX defined until December 15, and to have it in place from the 1st of January, even if it is under provisional unit CAPEX costs. So that's what I can say on this issue for the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. The next question comes from the line of Alessandro Derme. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Hi, this is Alessandro Derme calling from UBS. I have two questions. One is partially related to the one which has been just asked. I was wondering whether you could give us a little bit more details with regards to the debt schedule and any refinancing that REN will need to undergo over the next quarters and years. Second question is related to your answer on regulation, and I was wondering whether you could at least give us a flavor that in theory we should be looking at revenues which on 2009 should be higher than those of 2008, unless, of course, something super strange happens. Thank you.
Okay, on the debt schedule, what we have is we have guaranteed the refinancing up to the end of next year, although some aspects of the pricing are still open or subject to renegotiations, but we have the commitment, we have achieved all the commitments necessary to ensure that the refinancing is complete until the end of 2009. Now, we have, besides this, we have two things waiting. One of them, as I said, will hopefully happen this year, which is the financial closing of the new loan from the European Bank of Investment. It has been approved in the executive board of the European Investment Bank not this last Thursday, the other one, Thursday. So it's already approved, and we are now in the process of discussing the final wording of the contract. So our expectation is to have it ready and able to draw funds, which will enable us to repay earlier some of our other lines until the end of November, at the latest 15 December. This is our current schedule. Then we have all the work done, including a shareholders meeting to enable the board of REN to make the initial issues of medium to long-term bonds under an EMTN program, which has already been approved by both the authorities in Portugal and in London. We are in the process of awaiting a window opportunity in the market for these bonds. As you know, it has been semi-closed. Yesterday there was an issue of EDP, but a few others have happened in the last weeks, and so we have all the work done. We have all the conditions to issue. We are now monitoring the market with our banks so that we are able to go to the market. I cannot tell you whether this issue will take place this year or next year. What I can tell you is that the refinancing is guaranteed until the end of next year without this condition being fulfilled. So, of course, if we are able to make some issue, we will prepay some of our other lines. Then, on the regulation, the question was if we expect to, if I understood well, to have...
I'm sorry. Maybe I can rephrase. The question. It appears that you're getting a higher allowed return, which is going to be applied to a higher regulated asset base. On top of that, you will get these incentives on new capex. And I would say that with regards to cost, I would be expecting very little negative surprises here. So if you add up the moving pieces, which of course will remain moving until 15th of December, would it make sense to assume that you are looking at 2009 revenues, at least for the newly regulated assets, to be higher than those of 2008?
Yes, definitely, that's the case. We will, let's see, the worst case would be to not to have the premium on new capex in place during the year of 2009. I remind all of you that this premium is not a possibility, it's a certitude, because it's already in the formal document issued by ERS in August. Which has specifically the formulae for this second rate of return applicable to new capex. But in the worst case, we would have the 7.55 on a larger asset base than the asset base that was in place during 2008. And so if you combine the increase in 55 basis points with increase of the asset base, we will definitely have increased revenues. Now, what are the increased risks that we have now? We have reference costs on OPEX instead of fully accepted costs, and we are still discussing some details of the figures that have been put forward by ERS, and we don't know as yet the final definite figure for that reference cost in year zero, which is 2009. So, but I wouldn't expect a big surprise from that side, because we are talking of the deviations shouldn't be very big between our real cost and the reference cost. Then, of course, we have the financial part of our P&L, which is subject to some risk due to the situation of financial markets. But I think that the combination of the additional hedging that we will make on our interest rate plus the additional financing that we have agreed upon with the European Investment Bank will enable us to keep our debt competitive in spite of the situation of the financial markets. But as you all know, this is an area of that was always an area of risk, which has upsides and downsides, and this is the area where we are less able to forecast with exactitude what will be the result for next year. But all in all, I expect the next year definitely to be better in the bottom line against this year, given what I just said on the evolution of the asset base. I remind you that the natural gas asset base should also increase, contrary to what happened this year, because we will have some important assets coming on stream during 2009, and that will add to our allowed revenues. So combining this to the increase in the base rate, definitely we expect to have an increase in our allowed revenues and in our bottom line. That's for the moment what I'm able to say about that question.
Thank you very much.
Just as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There'll be a short silence while participants register for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. The next question comes from the line of Raimundo Fernandez. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I had a couple of questions about the numbers themselves in the results. I was wondering if you could go back and review the exceptional or less recurring items that we have in 2008 in this period compared to last year. In particular, I think last year we had the reversal of the Amorim lawsuit provision, and this year we have, if I understand, a special gain on the hydro land, which I think they net each other. And it's in order to understand why the evolution of the EBITDA is actually net low when I think those two provisions are similar magnitude. And then looking at the P&L on the appendix on your presentation, there is a provision for liabilities and charges of 22.7 million, which I don't know is related to severance payments or provisions for restructuring or what it means. Thank you.
Could you repeat, please, this last part of your question?
Yeah, when I look, I think if you have the presentation on page 19 in the P&L, there is above the operating profit line, there is a 22.7 million provision, which says provision for liabilities and charges, which the previous year in that period there's nothing. I just wanted to ask what was that, or whether there's anything related to maybe cost cutting, or I don't know, if you could explain what it was. Thank you.
Okay. Well, so the non-recurrent items are, in this year, in the first 9 months of 2008, what we have is, and I'm referring to slide 6, that 67.2 is the impact under the IFRS standard of the tariff deficit settlement. I remind you that we received 466 million euros for the settlement of our tariff deficit, of which 152 referred to land, and our book value under IFRS for this land was 85. So the difference was a non-recurrent revenue under IFRS. The reason why the book value under IFRS was smaller than the value that we actually received from the regulator is that under the fair value rules applied to this asset, and given that this asset was remunerated with the inflation rate, which is lower than the discount rate, we had a figure that was smaller than the figure that the amount of cash that we received from the regulator. So this gave rise to this difference, which is 67 million euros. Then we have a non-recurrent cost, which is 22.8, which is a provision related to the hydro land of Pego. It's not an hydro land, by the way. It's a thermal land, right? It's a thermal plant. So it's a land, a piece of land in a power plant, but it's a thermal power plant. It's Pego. And So we have here a provision because the amount that we received in the former year to through the sale of this piece of land, it has to be returned to the tariff later. So we provisioned that because we will have to return that by 2009 or 2010 to the tariff. So it was provisioned. In 2007, we had actually a higher, so the net effect of these non-recurrent items in 2008 is 67.2 minus 22.8, okay, which is a smaller figure than the non-recurrent impact in 2007, which was 96.3, resulting from basically three items. One is the cancellation of the provision related to the Galp dividend, as I said, which was 40.7 million euros. Then 22.7 related to the asset sales, PEGU, once more. And then 33 million euros, and this adds up to the 96 million, which was excess tariff collections that were later on provisioned. You may be struck by the fact that the provision was just 25. It was made in November, because that's the time where we understood the amount that we would have to return to the tariff. And this figure is actually larger than the provision that we created, because the specialization of this figure, the accrual in the first 9 months, was actually bigger than the figure that was calculated when we made the provision in November. So, to sum up, 40.7 plus 22.7 plus 33. These are the three items that amount to 96.3 non-recurrent revenues in 2007. Okay?
Thank you.
Just as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel.
Raimundo, is this enough? I think you had asked something else before this question on the provisions, the non-recurrent items.
No, I think it was trying to understand, because I found it easier to look at the P&L at the end of the presentation on page 19. And when you look at, there's the provision that the CFO talked about, and then there's a line called other income, which has 65 million the previous year, 87.8 this year, and I thought that would include this reversal of provisions, and I was trying to calculate EBITDA on that basis. But it's just to understand that there were more items that were unexpected, and I think that could have pushed EBITDA down.
Yes.
Relative to last year.
Yes, that's absolutely true. The best way to do it is the one you have on page 6.
Hmm.
So starting from sales and then going down. I think it's the easiest way to reach EBITDA.
Okay. Yeah, I just tend to look at the P&L. I like the presentation of 19 better. But that's, thanks a lot for the answers. So it clarifies a little bit what's going on at the operating profit level. Thank you.
No further questions have been registered, sir, so I hand the conference back to you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to let Rui Cartacho finish this conference call. If you have any further questions, you know you can always reach me.
Okay, so thank you for your interest. I will just sum up saying that we are reasonably comfortable with the results that the company displayed related to September 30. It's broadly in line with our own expectations. I think that we had, in spite of the difficult situation in the markets, we have achieved good results. both in the operational area, where, as you know, our main concern is with delivering our investment plans, because CAPEX is really the bread and butter of this company. So we are happy with the performance of investment, and we are we think that on the financial side, the company performed well, given the environment that we had during the first 9 months of this year. Also, I think that the news that we will be increasing the amount of dividends paid out to shareholders is good news for the market. And as always, we are at your disposal to later details, and Ana Fernandes will answer promptly to any doubts that you may have on these figures. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.